In your face.
I am joined by documentary filmmaker Rhys Lee, who has put together a wonderful documentary called The Last Closet, which explores really why it took so long for somebody to come out in the AFL and all of the issues associated with that. Rhys, welcome to 3CR.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is such a great documentary, and it looks at, you know, so many issues as to why did it take so long for an AFL player to come out? Why did it take until I think it was 2025? And what I really loved is it explores that there is no queer phobia without misogyny.
Completely. That is one of the main takeaways I had when I started writing a treatment for the doco, what I wanted to explore. So many people would come back to the fact that homophobia is rooted in anti-womenness. Like, a man acting anything like a woman, quote, is the problem. And that's their issue. So when you get right down to it, homophobia exists because we have such a problem with women. And without the advancement of women's rights, we wouldn't have gay rights. And it's just one of those situations where you think, we need to be looking out for each other in these spaces, and why queer inclusion matters so much to me. I mean, I'm a queer individual myself, and it's really not that difficult for minority groups to look out for each other in that way. So I just, honestly, I went on quite the journey making the doco. I mean, I spoke to so many different people about the state of it, and I ended up, I started as kind of a pessimist about where we are when it comes to queer phobia and women's rights in sport and in society. And God help me, I'm a little bit of an optimist now. Can you believe it?
That is so interesting, because you highlight in the doco that homophobia within the AFL has kind of increased over the last couple of years.
Yes. Right?
What's that all about?
It is pretty wild. I mean, we can take a look at the broader aspect of society, and, you know, sport is a microcosm. It matters a lot to people, but it is a microcosm of the real world. And we are seeing politically a bit of a shift socially to more conservative viewpoints. And it's definitely coming through. You see it on social media all the time. People love to say social media is like, oh, it's just people hiding behind a keyboard. But there are also people who think the things that they're saying. And that's kind of where the issues stem from. It's how do we get to the root of the problem? That is the important thing for me. How do we actually let people know that this isn't right and this needs to be changed?
And so algorithms are kind of feeding it because it loves outrage.
They really are. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you've listened to Talkback Radio, but yeah, that seems to be the way these days.
It's so bizarre with the AFL. There's all of these kind of, you know, like queer support teams, if you like.
Yeah.
There's all of these queer fans, you know, that kind of, you know, rally around their team, but yet there's no out players really at all, you know.
Yeah.
There's the one guy who came out last year,
yeah,
and that was like huge news, but it hasn't opened up the floodgates, has it?
No, it really hasn't. And it, when you look at that, but you also look at what's happening on the other side of the coin, which is, as you said just before, homophobic abuse is up, the using of homophobic slurs in the game is up, more so than it ever has been before, or at least now it's being reported, which is where a lot of players are getting caught. Plenty of people have said to me, oh, you know, back in the day, people would throw those words around all the time and no one had an issue with it. No, I'm pretty sure people had an issue with it. It's just that they weren't getting called out for it. And so there's the fact that they're getting called out for it, that means there's a reaction to it and there's a call to do better about it.
And imagine the impact that has on the players who are gay or are
exactly.
bi or are, you know, questioning their sexuality. Of course, that explains why they haven't come out.
Oh, completely. If you're in an environment that isn't welcoming to you, like who you are, like I grew up, I was closeted for quite some time because of how I was brought up. I didn't have any queer references for myself in life besides watching Will and Grace, which, you know, great show, but it's a TV show. I didn't have any queer role models whatsoever. I didn't know anything about queer culture or the fact that there was a spectrum of sexuality. It just was drilled into me. I was also brought up Christian. I was told this isn't okay. And because I thought I was this way, that means I'm not okay. And so when you're in an environment and it is a cultural issue, which is what it is, plain and simple, you just don't see an out. And that's why we need to drive visibility and we need to drive inclusion, because we need people to really recognize that who you are really does not matter when it comes to living life. We all have the right to live our lives exactly as we should.
It's so interesting you had Ian Roberts in your documentary.
Yeah, he's
remember,
great.
I remember when he came out in the 1990s when he was playing for the Cowboys in Queensland. I actually had him on the show. I did an interview with him over the phone.
Wow.
And that was like 1997 or 1998. And yet it took the AFL until 2025.
Yeah.
Why has the AFL lagged behind rugby league, which is, you know, a comparative sport in the same country, but, you know, obviously a different code in a different state? So what's the difference?
I don't think there is a huge difference, which is kind of what upsets me and kind of what helped inform my want to explore this issue. I mean, I started getting involved in this space when I was a volunteer on the committee of the Purple Bombers, which is the LGBTQ group for Essendon. Yes, I am an Essendon fan. Don't hold that against me. No, it's not a great time for us, but we're moving on. But thankfully, I did get a lot of experience in seeing how football clubs navigate this space. And when I started, it was around 2016, 2017. I can't remember exactly. But there was a lot of movement. It was actually the year of the marriage equality plebiscite that I started up. And there was a lot of movement and there was a lot of positivity from the football club about queer inclusion. And then it kind of just slipped away. And I really started asking myself that exact question. What is taking them so long to establish a safe environment? Do they just not value it? Or are clubs like, you know, as you mentioned before, the pride groups, they're all over the place now. I think only maybe two clubs don't have them, which is great. You know, it's great that supporters of all these football clubs have a little group that they can even work with, or, you know, spend time with like-minded people from the same parts of life. That's great for in terms of sport fans, footy fans. But the AFL is a corporation at the end of the day, and they have a responsibility, and the clubs all have a responsibility to do better. And it seemed to me, personal experience, just my experience, it just seems like they were more interested in looking like they were doing something than actually doing something.
So pinkwashing.
Oh, completely. That's the easy way to say it. Yeah, pinkwashing.
It is interesting, though, because they have spent a lot of money on that.
Oh, God, yeah.
And they did speak out in support of the marriage equality campaign. They have had high-profile figures like, you know, Eddie Maguire being, you know, supportive. Mm. And you yourself, in your documentary, you know, had numerous players who were clearly queer positive and who were speaking out in support of the queer communities. Is it that the culture is so ingrained that you just can't bake it off?
That is the interesting thing, because I knew from my time in the Purple Bombers, I met plenty of players, like you hobnob with them and you do like little events with them. As you mentioned, in the documentary, I speak to Kyle Langford, who's an Essendon player. He made it pretty clear throughout the entire time that I've known him, he is an incredible ally himself. And he made it clear that the rest of the team is as well. The guys are so progressive and so accepting and so... we are who we are and we all need to embrace that. And that seemed to be the culture that he knows. So it's interesting where the discrepancies lie. Like if there is, let's say for argument's sake, a majority of AFL players are queer positive and voted for marriage equality, are fully in favor of LGBTQ rights, trans rights across the board. Why does it feel like they aren't?
And is that social media? Is that the algorithm? Is that the media kind of, you know, industry magnifying the voices of those few?
I think that's definitely the case. I mean, it doesn't help that, as we were talking about before about the slurs, every time a player says an F slur in the AFL, it's reported on for days on end. It's headline news. When you have a repeat offender like the St Kilda player this year, you know, what's his sentence going to be? And then the club argues to reduce it. And then the AFL have to step in and say, no, you're not going to do that. Okay, we will do that, but we're going to do this. It's not good in the grand scheme of things. Like it's not, I know the AFL thinks they're doing something right here, but they kind of seem to be approaching it from, let's say, an HR perspective. And I think they could do a better job conspiring with the LGBTQ community onto what the appropriate way to handle things is.
So you mentioned all these players who are supportive, and clearly they're in your documentary, and they were clearly genuine. Do they talk to you off mic at all about, you know, the crap that they get subjected to for being supportive of the queer community?
There have been some in the past. I mean, I've spoken to a few players who have been very unabashedly proud to be allies, and, you know, they've even worn rainbow Guernseys. Like Essendon used to wear a training Guernsey that was rainbow, which was great. They would do sometimes rainbow laces, and they would post it online. Of course, anytime any sporting club, the players or the club themselves, do post positive things about Pride or the community, I mean, God, Pride Month started in the US just this past week, and so many NFL clubs who posted their logo as a rainbow had to turn off the comments, because they just can't cop the amount of abuse that they get. And so it is interesting why so many players are in a position where they might not feel like they can be as vocal as they want to be. I mean, when it comes to issues, as much as I hate it, politics, I hate saying that queer rights and queer existence is political, but it is. It, by its absolute nature, it's the reason we have Pride, is because it's the humanity of it all. But when it comes to athletes expressing any kind of political affirmation, they just seem to struggle. And it kind of hurts a little bit that there is a struggle for players to simply say gay is okay, or to simply say Black Lives Matter, or like to think that there's some world we're living in where they get reprimanded for that, or face consequences for that, is so bizarre to me.
And maybe that's kind of like the point of this queer phobia that's emerging and is being magnified by social media algorithms. It's not just to target those people who might be queer, it's to stop them from coming out in the sport and being role models and then affecting the social change.
Yes, absolutely.
Your documentary, The Last Closet, is happening at the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival. Can you give us some details?
Yeah, it's happening on July 12th. It's going to be part of the Queer Shorts part of the festival. So on that day, a whole bunch of queer short films are being screened at the festival at the Northcote Theatre. So you can get tickets online at Melbourne Documentary Festival's website. And there's plenty of great things happening this year. So if you like film and you want to get involved, there's plenty to see. But if you want to see my documentary, The Last Closet, then make sure you get tickets for July 12th.
Fantastic. Rhys Lee, it's a wonderful documentary. Thank you so much for joining us today.
3CR. In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.